So this morning, I'll continue on with the life of Joseph. I've been talking about Joseph the last 6-7 weeks, I guess, that I've had the chance to talk. This morning we'll be reading from chapter 41, starting at verse 1. But just as a bit of a refresher, Joseph grew up in a wealthy but highly dysfunctional home. Most of us here know about growing up in dysfunctional homes. So if you have, it's actually biblical. He had these two crazy dreams about his brothers and his family bowing down to him in the future, and his brothers got pretty upset about that, so they decided to murder him. But instead, they decided to make some cash, and they sold him to some slave traders, who then on-sold him to this guy called Potiphar, and he served in Potiphar's house, and while he was there, God absolutely blessed Potiphar and Joseph. But Potiphar's wife wanted to have an affair with Joseph. That all turned pretty pear-shaped. Joseph resisted her advances, so she made up a story which threw Joseph in prison. And the last time I spoke about when he was in prison, he met the butler and the baker. And they too had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams they had. And he explained what their fate was going to be as God had revealed it. And as it worked out, the butler was spared and restored to his place in the king's palace. And the baker was actually exposed and impaled and killed, just as God had interpreted it to Joseph. But Joseph said this, Genesis chapter 40, verse 14. He said this to the butler that he gave the interpretation. He said, when you get out of here, remember me. Get me out of this place. But he didn't remember him. So just to continue the story, chapter 41, verse 1, it says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing on the Nile. So two full years had passed, but the butler didn't remember him. He totally forgot. If you think about it, Joseph was sold by his brothers, became a slave, wrongly convicted and thrown in prison. excuse me, last week, or the week before, I rented a car to this guy, and this guy walked in my office, and he was pretty rough around the edges. He had tattoos all up his neck and everywhere. And generally when people like that come in my office, I didn't have a chat to him, just to make sure the car's going to come back. And he said, oh, he'd only moved to Mangambia recently. He'd spent the last 5 years in the Philippines. And I said, oh, what are you doing over there? And he goes, oh, I said, he went over there for a week's holiday, and he met a young girl. So he decided to stay. I said, oh, so what made you come back? And he says, well, he got into a fight in a bar, and which is never a good thing. He got arrested, and they looked at his visa, and they realised that he'd overstayed his visa. So they locked him up in a prison over there for 6 months while they were organising to deport him. So I asked him, so what was it like in a Philippine prison? And he says, horrific. He's living with rats and there was disease. And being a white guy in a Filipino prison, everyone thought he had money. And this guy's just a brickie. So he didn't have a lot of money. So they were trying to stand over him. So he was fighting with everyone. When he left my office, I actually Googled him just to see if he was fair dinkum. And it was all over the news because he was trying to get the Australian government to get him out. And he'd somehow smuggled a phone into his prison cell and was videoing his prison and the conditions he was living in. And so in my mind, an Egyptian prison would have been like that, probably if not worse than that. It would have been like a living hell. So he was in that, Joseph was still in that position. And being forgotten by man, who should have remembered him, a man who Joseph actually served, and a man who he showed compassion in a horrible prison, he totally forgot about him for 2 years. It's a terrible feeling to feel forgotten by people who shouldn't forget about you. It's an even worse feeling when you feel like God himself has forgotten about you. Yet we never have any indication that Joseph actually gave up his faith. I've heard people give God a timeline. You've been around churches long enough, you probably have too. I'm going to give God 6 months to turn things around. Or if not, I'm going to turn it and do it my own way. Actually, a guy used to attend here, and he said that to me. He said, I'm going to give God 6 months to to change me, to reveal himself to me. And I said, mate, I think that's a real good idea. And after 6 months, he left our church and went to another church. Really short time after that, he turned his back on God altogether. It's a really sad situation. But Joseph isn't like that. He didn't never put an expiry date while he was in prison. He stayed faithful to God even through the 2 years. And many of us, we see ourselves as Joseph. We like to think we're Joseph in the story, the hero in the story. But I think in reality, we're the butler. How many times do we forget about God and the blessings he's poured out over our lives? Despite our sin, grace is poured out on us each and every day. If you take a deep breath like that, we can only breathe due to the grace of God. God gives us each and every breath. That's actually why I don't exercise, because I reckon God gives us a certain amount of breaths and I don't want to waste them. But sometimes I think most, if not all of us, forget God at times. Not only do we forget God, but we actually deny God's work in our lives. And that's a terrible thing. And that's why prayer journals, I find, are really good. We can look back at God's blessings, his faithfulness in our lives. But we also forget people in our lives who've done a lot for us in our walk. And I think that's a sin. It's a sin of forgetting. It's a strange sin because it's not deliberate. We're not scheming it or anything, but we get caught up in the business of life and we get caught up in our own needs and our own wants. And we forget a name, I'm big on that, or we forget a need. Or we tell someone we'll pray for them if they're sick or in strife. We walk away and we just totally forget about it. I think we need to pray to God that we don't forget others, forget our duty. Verse 2, it says, when out of the river there came seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came out of the Nile and stood beside them on the riverbank. And the cows were ugly and gaunt, ate up the seven sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. It's a pretty weird dream, isn't it? Verse 5, he fell asleep again. And a second dream, seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing up on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It's been a dream. So in this dream, Joseph dreamt that he was standing by the Nile, a river which actually gives life all through that region. And out of it came seven good-looking, healthy cows, probably from the Telford family. And then suddenly, seven other ugly, skinny, probably Collingwood supporter cows came out and ate the fat cows. It's good that Nita tells me to stick to the script, and especially she's not here this morning. So, but this dream was different. It was actually a message from God, and it's a good reminder that God speaks to us today. Last time I spoke on the dreams of the butler and the baker, and how it's all through the Bible where God has spoken to people through dreams. I know that many here have had God-inspired dreams, and it's a phenomenon at the moment where God is speaking to the Muslim community through dreams, and they're finding Jesus. They're coming to Jesus through the dreams. Me personally, God speaks to me through the Word more than anything, but there have been times where God has spoken to me through supernatural means. I was invited to another church where they had an American prophet was attending, and he pointed me out, gave me this word, and it was really uncomfortable. It just sat really uncomfortable with me. And for about 2 weeks, I was Googling what the word he gave me, thinking maybe I've got it wrong or something like that. But it actually was really troubling. Anyway, a few weeks later, I went to Adelaide with Nigel to the BMI state gathering. And at the end of it, you come down for prayer. And I thought, no, I'm not going down. I feel too wrecked by what this guy said to me. Anyway, this lady came up to me and she goes, I got a word for you. And it was the exact opposite to what this American guy had given me. It was like God knew the original word was in error, so he sent another messenger to give me the truth. And I think you know in your spirit sometimes if it's in error or not, but from my experience, if somebody gives you a word from God and not just a word of encouragement, you know it in your spirit. thinking about it, I've had some amazing accurate words spoken to me over the years. My daughter Kelly has a gift of visions and words of knowledge since she was really little. And we were in children's church one morning and I heard her giving a word to another young child who was 5 or 6. And I said to her, Kelly, I'm your dad. Why don't you give me words? You give it to everyone else, but I'm your dad. You don't ever give it to me. And she looked at me and she goes, Dad, you're going to get a word soon, but it won't be from me. And I thought, yeah, rightio. That's just getting rid of Dad. The next Sunday at church, this lady who I never really spoke to came up to me and she says, I don't normally do this, but I've got a word for you. And it was crazy accurate. So God absolutely does speak to us through dreams, visions, words of knowledge. And if you think you have that gift, I encourage you to speak to Nigel and Gail about it and develop the gift. But he absolutely will speak to you through his word as well, through the Bible. And the words we do receive from people have got to be qualified and measured by the word as well. Because the Bible has absolutely been proven truthful. Verse 8, it says, in the morning his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Pharaoh did not take this merely as a crazy dream. We all have crazy dreams. I remember I had this crazy dream last night. I hope Nigel doesn't mind me saying this, but I dreamt that Nigel was on the roof of the church and I was playing a joke on him. And I said, if you jump off the roof, you'll be fine. And he just swan dived off the roof. Doop. And next thing I know, he's standing next to me and he goes, I'm hurt. And I said, that's because you're doing it wrong. And he did it again. And I woke up actually giggling in my dream. And I know you think, yeah, that's a McDream. But it's just a crazy dream. And I think everyone has weird dreams like that. But there's something different about this dream. And he gathered all the pagan priests. And what's interesting is that in the previous chapter, Joseph said to the butler and the baker, he says, don't interpretations belong to God? And God was going to interpret the dream. Verse 9, it says, Then the butler said to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he had imprisoned me. And the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard, each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them for us. I was restored to my position and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream. No one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. So clearly the butler, he's like me, he's over 50 and his memory's fading a bit, but he just remembered Joseph. I do that all the time. People come up, start talking to me and I think, I've got no idea who your name is. And then 10 minutes after they've gone, I go, that's who it is. And the butler was in the same sort of thing. But what if the story was different? What if the butler remembered Joseph straight away? So the butler comes out of prison, tells the Pharaoh, hey, look, there's this guy in prison. He's a great guy. Interprets my dreams. You've got to release him. He gets released from prison. He goes back to his family or he goes a million miles away, halfway around the world. They wouldn't be able to track him down. But God knew exactly what he was doing. He needed Joseph in prison to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Even though it was difficult and discouraging, God had a plan. God had a destiny for Joseph far greater than just getting him out of prison. In fact, Joseph's destiny was to save Egypt. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, are my thoughts than your thoughts. You can see through the analogy how God can keep us in a comfortable situation because he knows our destiny better than we do. And it's encouraging if you're going through troubles. God is on the throne still. It's interesting, in these days with COVID, so many people just wound up by it and they're so easily offended. I think most of it's due to fear, but used to be never talk about religion or politics. Well, now if you get three people together and you say, are you pro-vax or anti-vax, it's just save time and punch one of them in the face, because that's what's going to happen. There's going to be an explosion. But God is on the throne still. He's in control. God has a plan in the midst of all this. We need to trust him. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. It's also interesting note, verse 14, it says he brought Joseph quickly out of the dungeon. And I know in my life, I've been praying for God for things for long periods of times, and it feels like the prayers is bouncing off the ceiling. But then all of a sudden, it's like the floodgates open up, and prayers just start going answered like that. And it's a good reminder that God's actually got it in his hand. And when the time is right, he can put it all together in an instant. God's never late, he's never early, but he's always bang on time. And sometimes God is also working on our character into the image of Christ. Romans 8:28 says this, and it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. It's a commonly quoted verse, and it's a great verse too, but the next verse, verse 29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God's plan isn't for us to be comfortable, I don't think. God's plan is to form us into the image of Jesus, to make us love, forgive, and be bold like Jesus. It's a big deal. And God was building faith and character into Joseph while he was in prison. I think that the devil tempts us and God tests us to see our character. And sometimes we get squeezed. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If you squeeze lemon, you get lemon juice. If you squeeze a Christian, you shouldn't get Christian juice, but you should get something to it. You should see love and humility. I had to ring up a call center the other day. And that never ends well for me. I was trying to talk to this person who was on the other side of the planet about this situation, and I was squeezed. And to be honest, not a lot of love, and definitely no humility came out of my mouth. But it was a good, I was tested, and I had to bring it towards God. It's also interesting to know that Jesus spent 30 years pretty well in hidden obscurity. Then he quickly burst into the scene. But when the time was right for him to end his ministry, it just seemed to explode on the scene when the time was right. Verse 15 says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds, and after them seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I've never seen such ugly cows in all of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. So Joseph, who just spent about 13 years by now as a slaver in prison, looks at Pharaoh, and I think by this stage, he probably wanted to get out of prison, but he knew he could have twisted this whole thing to look like a hero. But in verse 25, it says, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It's one of the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain, scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It's just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will soon do it. So it's interesting, they're talking about 7 good years and 7 years of famine and drought. So I'm guessing they had climate change back then as well. Must have something to do with all these cows they were talking about, I don't know. But it would have been a heavy thing to talk to the Pharaoh, but as I said, Joseph understood the speaking on God's behalf way outweighs and speaking to the Pharaoh. He had to speak the truth. Joseph feared God more than in the Pharaoh, and Joseph picked up that God was telling Pharaoh the same thing twice as a confirmation. And I think that's a good lesson. If you believe God's talking to you about something, you should always ask God for confirmation. Some people go on a whim based on a dream, and some people get all bit mixed up with dreams. I had a dream I was eating ice cream. Got to go out and buy an ice cream machine, stuff like that. But it's not wise. If you ask God for confirmation, he'll give it to you. And the Bible's a good example. Despite more than 2,000 years of experts trying to pull it apart and find holes in it, it remains true. It's true historically. It's true when it speaks of commands. It's true when it speaks of moral principles. It's true when it speaks of wisdom. God's word is absolutely true. So this morning's scripture was about God's messenger, Joseph, who was used to send the message to Pharaoh. But God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, as messenger to us. A lot of us are looking for a map sometimes of a 7-year plan for God. But God never promises a map because he sent us a guide to lead the way. And the guide says, follow me. Jesus tells us we don't have to despair or worry. Trust in Jesus and he will guide us. Keep our eyes fixed on him. We're not promised our lives to be comfortable. In fact, he sent his Holy Spirit, known as the Comforter, to comfort us. And having the Holy Spirit in me has totally changed me. He speaks in my spirit, he warns me, he guides me, he encourages me, and he comforts me. And this gift of the Holy Spirit is only available through the work of the cross. I was thinking of Joseph in prison, and it would have been a bleak time. And I can't imagine the distress the disciples felt when they saw Jesus suffer and die on a cross. But God had a plan so amazing that through the bleakness and distress, where we can be called his children. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. It may not always be comfortable, but we have to always remember God never forgets about us, and he's always working. If you're in a season, in a prison type season, just be encouraged. God's in control.